So good morning, everybody. How are we doing? You having a good weekend so far? Yeah, you ready to praise God this morning? Yeah, all right. Okay. If you look on the thing, it says welcome and then it says testimony. We're gonna push that back 1 week, so I'll be doing that next week. As far as announcements go, first line of order, if you look up there, and then you should have a little attachment in your bulletin or handout. That is our parking lot thermometer meter to show us kind of what the goal is and where we're at. So it gives us an idea how far we are from that. So we're currently at $1,690, and our goal to get both the parking lots done, everything that needs fixed, is $6,000. So we're about a third of the way there. So again, continue to pray on that, and whatever you can do as God leads you, that will be great and really help things out. We continue. April is our month for the Harlan Christian Youth Center. So again, just look on there. Anything that you could donate of any of those things, just bring it here and bring it to the back of the church, and we will donate those to the Harlan Christian Youth Center. You see there the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, how we did this year. Oh, happy birthday to Carol Schneckler on the 22nd. And I think that covers everything. Okay, yeah. Let's go ahead and say a prayer. Dear God, we thank you for this opportunity to gather. We thank you for just your grace and for your protection over us, and we pray and ask that you would continue to guide this church, and that you would give us guidance through your Holy Spirit, and lead us as you would as the body of Christ is to be your hands and your feet and everything else, God. And we just pray that you would use us in a way that would glorify you. We pray that you be with Pastor Mike this morning as he delivers a message. We pray for focus and concentration for us, and to not let, you know, things from last week or things that are coming up distract us, and just allow us to focus on you and your word, God. And we pray that it would be edifying to us and that it would build us up. And we pray all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Ladies. Oh, and Dennis too. Thank you. Sorry about that, Dennis. Oh, Todd too. Did he say? If you got your Bible, turn over to Psalms 37. Going to be reading Psalms 37, verses 1 through 9 this morning. I remember years and years ago, we were in Alabama, and I forget whose funeral it was at now. Isn't that terrible? Something was going on, and they were supposed to sing something, and everybody was kind of standing there going like that, you know. And then this guy just stood up over on the right and sang it. Woohoo! Best I ever heard. Magnificent. Well, Psalms 37. Would be a good thing if I turned to it, wouldn't it? Yeah. Starting in verse 1. It says this, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of their heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness of light and the judgments as a noonday. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Father, give us patience as we try to serve you in this underworld world that we live in. So much chaos, so much hatred, dependency upon temporal things and no recognition of eternal things. So, Father, I pray for our country. I pray for America. Lord, we're seemingly adrift. Lord, but the world is adrift. And we pray, Father, that you will work in people's lives. But most of all, Lord, I pray that we as your people would have resilience and strength and courage. Lord, as I read the magazine about the martyrs and the boldness of the Chinese Christians to speak Jesus in a communist country where they just disappear and they're never seen again. Yet as that one lady said, I must serve Jesus. We must serve Jesus. Help us to do so. Lord, if there's somebody here this morning that's grieving, somebody here this morning that has complications in their life, problems and sorrows, pray you lift them up. Bring them to your throne of grace that they might find the strength they need. Lord, that we might understand who you are and what you're about and give you glory today. For these things I pray in that highest name under heaven, the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Citizens of Israel were under attack. Benjamin Netanyahu spoke to the shocked and grieving people of Israel just the other day about the horrific attack upon Israel. Radical Islamic groups sent fighters upon a rampage, murdering defenseless citizens, raping, setting children on fire, and these people were out of control. News outlets began to report that Hamas had killed and kidnapped hundreds. They got a portion of it right anyway. The attack was described as the worst carnage that Israel had seen since the Yom Kippur War. All that was briefly mentioned, and then from there on out, it devolved into Israel was the criminal. At the same time, protesters took to the streets here in America, shouting, "Death to America." Don't you love that? I don't particularly like it. I don't know. It upsets me when I'm sitting there listening to it on the television. I don't know what I would do if somebody said, "Death to America," and I was standing there. Somebody would probably have their teeth knocked out. That's terrible, isn't it? I would then say, you know, I'm the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church, and come by later, we'll see about fixing your teeth. I don't know. Listen, that attack was described as the worst rampage since Yom Kippur. At the same time, protesters right here in America were taking the streets shouting what? "Death to America." We are Hamas. We're hearing this all over, and mostly it has to generate from the campuses. My heart is broken for those innocent elderly people in Israel, the children, all those terrible things that have gone on, those satanic evils. It truly is. But my heart is really broken also for America, a once great nation that's sick to the core with cancer. And it shows its face in evil and expressions of evil. We've lost our way. But when we reject biblical roots, then what do we expect? When we don't have those things in our lives, when our college and our universities are led by professors who are ignorant, I think they really are ignorant. That means no learning. They're lost, that's for sure. Most of them are foolish, having no foundations based upon the Word of God. And so their learning, quote-unquote learning, is not learning at all. They know nothing. Hosea 8:7 says this, "For they that sow to the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind." Well, what a week it's been for the world and for the United States and, of course, for Israel. Civilization, as you well know, began in the Middle East, perhaps That's where it will end. Living for Jesus in a world that embraces ungodly behavior is challenging for us as believer priests. We're the ones that God is counting on to stand up, to say, to pray, to do the things that, righteous believers in Christ should uphold the truth. However, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not just simply to stand, we are to proclaim. We're to proclaim biblical truths. We're to reflect biblical truths in our lives, in our teaching. We're to be lights in an ever-darkening world. We must be kind of like David when he faced Goliath. Over in 1 Samuel 17, it recounts that story for us, and I'm not going through the whole thing, but the Philistines on one side of the mountain, and Israel was on the other side of the mountain. The Philistines were over here, and Israel was over here. And you well know that when Saul became king, the Bible said he was head and shoulders above anyone in Israel. So the biggest guy in all Israel was the king, and he was in his tents, just shaking. Goliath was down there taunting and blaspheming. David, of course, came and heard those things. And in 1 Samuel 17, it tells us that when Saul and all Israel had heard Goliath, what does it say? They were greatly afraid. They were terrified. They were terrified. I think we're terrified sometimes of those things that go on around us when we need not be. But David prevailed, of course, against Goliath, didn't he? Faith is always the victory that overcomes the world. God uses it all the time. We must stand firm, however. We must stand firm amidst the ungodly culture that we're in, the hate, the sin, the accusations, the marches, the protesters. Some poor fellow set himself on fire the other day. Did you see that? Nobody even knows who he is. But you know what? He lived. You know what that's going to mean? For the rest of his miserable life, it's going to be miserable. Unbelievable. We need to find courage, though, and we need to find courage of examples of faith that we might draw from those, because that's what we need. We need to unlock the power and unlock the power of God in our lives and unlock the power of the Word of God in our lives as we take it in, we breathe it out. The reason we don't breathe much out is we don't take much in. What did Paul tell young Timothy to do over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1? He said, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. What does he say? Preach the word. Be instant in season and out. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. Do it with patience and with good sound doctrine. For the time will come, I think it's here, when they will not endure sound doctrine, for after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, professors in colleges and universities in this land, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn unto fables. Great events are taking place all around us in the world. It's being reshaped, and it's being reshaped in all kinds of ways that we cannot understand immediately and understand rightfully, fully immediately, but we see that there's something happening, and it's not good. I just said a minute ago, reading the magazine, The Martyrs, and talking about the Christians in Red China, Communist China, and the people that are there, they will not give up their faith. It's amazing. What else can I do, that lady said. I think if we were to draw that situation to us in America, what else could we do? We'd hide. We'd recant. We'd say, I'm sorry, you don't understand what I'm saying. I didn't really mean that. But no, she said, what I said, and that's because it's true. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And return to fables. Great events are taking place. The world is being reshaped for good or for evil. Battles, war, significant things were happening and are happening all over. But the television has brought the world right into our living rooms, isn't it? It used to be that we read it in the newspaper or something like that. We heard about it weeks, perhaps, after some significant event had happened. Now we see it in real time. We see protesters marching in the streets of New York City. And they're not protesting for more biblical governments, where they're not protesting against our congressmen and senators and the president, all of them who seem to have lost their minds. You say all of them? Yeah, I think probably pretty well all of them. Maybe you can find one and write their name down later. I'll consider it. We see protesters marching, people setting setting themselves on the fire. The world is a tinderbox, and even here in America, nothing seems to be stable as it used to be. You might say to yourself, well, Brother Mike, it used to never be what you thought it was to begin with. Well, then don't break my illusion. I want to think of it that way. Psalm 37 is a good spiritual medicine, for it is as God's people to face and deal with trouble. God doesn't count on his enemies. He counts on us. Life brings us into many difficult situations, doesn't it? Example, I heard a story about a little boy who went to the store to buy some Tide laundry detergent. You guys know what Tide is. A little boy went to the store and bought this Tide detergent. The cashier asked the little boy, "It's nice of you to run some errands for your parents. Do you have laundry duty at your house today?" The little boy says, "I'm not doing laundry. I'm washing my cat." The cashier explained to the little boy that Tide was kind of tough stuff. It wasn't probably good for washing cats. But the little boy refused to hear or listen. The next time the little boy came to the store, the cashier remembered him and said, "Well, how's your cat?" And the little boy hung his head and sat, and he says, "Well, my cat died." Oh, the cashier said, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. What happened to your cat? How did it die? From the Tide in your washing machine?" Little boy thought for just a second, reflected. He said, "I don't think it was the Tide that killed him. I think it was the spin cycle." Well, either way, not good, is it? I think we're kind of in the spin cycle, don't you? Psalm 37:1 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass." Fret not thyself. Don't worry about those folks. Don't give it a thought. Why? The God we serve, in the person of the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to this earth, put upon himself human flesh, spoke as no man ever spoke, did miracle after miracle, healed the sick, opened the eyes of the blind, raised the dead, you name it. The lepers were healed. He was crucified. But that was Friday, wasn't it? But on Sunday, he arose. That's the God we serve. Now, what is too difficult for a God who can do all those kind of things? What is too problematic for our God that he can't handle our problems? Every instance of and every asset of God can handle that. We just need to be confident in him. Not confident in us, but confident in him. So don't fret, the psalmist says. Trust in the Lord and do good. How do we do good? Well, I think there's a lot of things that we can do. There's an election coming up pretty soon. I think it would really be good for us to go to the polls as the people of God. Now you say to yourself, "Well, I don't like that guy. I don't like that guy either. This guy's terrible and this guy's worse." Gotcha. I didn't know you could do this. But I think that I understood this. You can actually write in a candidate on a ballot. I didn't know you could do that. I think I'm going to really look hard on the ballot that I'm going to be using this time, because I think I might start writing in a lot. Neither one. Get somebody else. Democrats, you got to pay for the election. Republicans, you got to pay for. Get somebody we can vote for with a good conscience. Get somebody whose hands are clean. Get somebody in there that has a sense of moral, spiritual understanding of his lack of intelligence, his strength and power, and has a understanding of who he's trusting for that power and that strength and that intelligence. Let's get somebody like that. The psalmist says, don't delight yourself in those things, but delight yourself in the Lord. It's always good. You know, there's a little box out there on the table. I neglected to open it again this morning. But that little box has daily bread in it. Al Snelker has bought those for a couple of years now, at least. So it doesn't cost you things, what I'm trying to tell you. If you got a key or a knife or if you have a machete, you know, chop it open and pass them out. Do some daily prayer. Do some guided prayer. Let those daily breads be our bread and feast upon those things. Delight ourselves in the Lord. It says in verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Committing is a decision we make to overtly do something. Go in this direction, go in that direction. It's like committing yourself in marriage. I thought it was so funny several years ago because, you know, the divorce rate among married people is really high. But years ago, the state of Texas had a thing that they called covenant marriage. Did you hear about that? What it was you entered into a relationship in marriage and you signed a covenant saying, I'll be faithful to her, she'll be faithful to me. We're going to trust in the Lord that our lives together can be something that God would want us to be, and we're not going to get divorced. They called it covenant marriage. And it actually, I guess, popped and snapped a little while, and people got really interested in it. It's amazing to me. Because you know why that's amazing to me? Because that's just what marriage is supposed to be, period. It was always like that. Never meant to be any other way. I don't know why we thought we were doing the other way. But listen, commit yourselves unto the Lord. Make yourselves available unto the Lord. Do what God has asked you to do. Be faithful in it. Don't worry about the results. God can handle the results. Just trust the Lord as to what may happen, and you can do it. Now, there's a sixth point in that verse. It says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get kind of a haunty spirit. You say sometimes, huh? And I remember there was something I was dealing with. It's been many years ago now, and I was in the old building, and I was walking down the hallway, and the Lord was talking to me, and I was talking back to the Lord. The Lord was saying this, and I was saying no. The Lord was saying this, and I said no, right. He was saying left, and I'd say right. He would say go up, and I said go down. I thought to myself, I've got this thing. I'm doing exactly what I should be doing, Lord. You need to correct yourself and get in the step with what I'm doing. And I even kind of thought that word step came out in my mind. And when I got to the steps over there, guess what happened? Yeah, I fell on my face in front of those steps and used that for an altar. Weeping, I cried unto God, saying, Lord, Lord, forgive me. What kind of arrogance and rudeness is that I could tell you what I'm supposed to be doing? You're trying to lead me and guide me, and I refuse to do it. I want to do it my own way. And I stayed right there on those steps for a long, long time. You said, well, when was that? That was a pretty good while ago. But you know, those things still happen. They still happen. I don't know why the Lord, you know, be real good if I walked out in the parking lot and that big overhead light was to just crumble down and crack right in the head and kill me. It would be good, because some of you then would start looking at the light saying, I think we're going to walk over here. Let's not go over there. Yeah. But God's not that way. But he will chasten you. Why? Because he loves you. He doesn't want you to go in that way. He doesn't want that those evil and sinful things that you're doing will add up in your life and the cost will be very great. Let us head that off. Let us divert from that. Be still and know that I'm the Lord. Be patient and know that I am the Lord. The seventh thing it said there in that psalm says, refrain from anger. Don't let your sun go down. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. I think that that's something that we should understand. It's very elementary. Don't harbor that baby. Don't nurse it. Don't hold on to it. Let it go so that God can restore you. Jesus said over in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My friend John Blackburn, does anybody remember John by any chance? Well, I'm sorry about that. John and Tina Blackburn. John was going over to Warsaw to college over there. Brilliant kid. Brilliant kid. Excellent Bible expositor. We used to argue about all kinds of things because he was pretty strong in predestination. I was kind of, what did you call that thing one time? Taylor, it was Calvinism, Arminianism, and what was the other one? Yeah, I guess that's me. I'm always vacillating between the two. I want to be in the middle there. I think God can know all things, most assuredly. God knows the end from the beginning, most assuredly. But somehow in all that magnificence and understanding and power and might and his thinking, he also gives us this business of free will. If we didn't have that, then that little Bible verse that says, whosoever may come wouldn't mean a thing, would it? We should change that to only those who I call can come. Whosoever will can come. God's calling us all. Some of us respond, some of us don't. That's amazing. I agree with you 100%, Jim. Yeah, he knows. He knew that before you were ever born. He knew that from the foundation of the world. He knew all that. He knew how it was going to go. Yet he allows it to happen. Because I think we can learn from sometimes our mistakes. Hopefully we can. Hopefully we can. Peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. That's what we need, is the Lord's peace, isn't it? I don't think we're going to have peace in this world. I don't know that we've ever had peace in this world, actually. Somebody was saying one time years and years ago, I was reading, trying to figure out how many wars were going on in that particular year. And the article I was reading said there was 286 wars going on at that particular time all over the world. I thought, wow, okay. And then at the very end of the article, it said, and we don't know them all. I thought, this was something. I thought to myself, I think I need to send stuff into Time Magazine. If you can write and write and write and write, and then at the very end have a mea culpa, I don't know how much. Oh, goodness. Listen, God loves you. He loves us. He loves America. He wants us to be a beacon and a lighthouse to the world. That's our reason for being. We're to be the kind of people that other people might see Jesus in us. That means for us to do things sometimes that are difficult to do. That means sometimes we're going to be in places that are difficult, in situations that are difficult, but yet God wants us to be there for some particular reason. I don't know if Todd remembers that or not, but years and years ago, my wife, of course, worked in St. Jude in the emergency room, and she came home and said, you know, Michael, I met a family, and they were in the emergency room, and they need some groceries and things like that. The wife was telling me her husband had hurt himself somehow or another, and he was in getting doctored. She was talking to my wife, and she said, we need to take those folks over some groceries. I thought, well, okay. And then she said, but we need to do this. We need to take a couple of coats. Coats? It wasn't even cold yet, I thought. But anyway, a pair of tennis shoes, size 6 or something like that. How'd you get all that stuff? I don't know. Do you remember that, Todd? And we went up that it was one of those houses, you know, the bottom house is somebody and the top house is somebody else. Well, we knocked on the bottom house, and those people said, upstairs. So we went around to the side and started going up those stairs. Lou, Dennis, did you put this in? Did you guys install this? Good insulation, brother. Good insulation. Yeah. Did you see me, a couple weeks ago that I kind of just flew down from here? Because I caught my foot and it was like a missile. But I caught Dennis's and Lou's good railing there and straightened myself up. I'd have been nosedived into the floor. Well, Todd and I went up the stairs, and oh my goodness, it's only a 2-story house, so how tall can that be? 10, 12, 14 feet maybe at the most or something. I don't know what. And I'm just going, oh gosh, oh no, this thing is just rickety and everything else. And we knock on the door. Lady comes and Todd tells her who we are, and that, you know, this is from the nurse that was taking care of you and your family. Understand you need some of those things. And she was in tears. She said, come on in. And we went on in. Oh my goodness. Not only am I a scared of heights guy, I'm scared of all kinds of stuff, actually. Not only am I scared of heights and those kind of things, but oh my goodness, I couldn't go in. I thought I was going to vomit all over the place. So I went back outside a little bit, get some fresh air there. I left toward Todd in there to take care of that situation. It was so warm in there. And it was so stinky in there that the minute I got a whiff, my gag reflex went off. And there was stuff coming up in my throat. Up and down, up and down, up and down. Isn't that, you can go home and tell you, whether a preacher preached it, I don't know, but he's talking about vomiting. I had to go out. Couldn't do it. They did leave the door open a little bit, and I saw Todd talking to this lady, all these little kids coming up, giving him a hug and all those kind of things. And I thought to myself as we went down those steps, thank you, Lord, that you sent us over here to help those folks, because they really needed some help. Now, I've been taken so many times by con guys, good con artists, that I realize anymore when somebody calls me up, the first thing I think about, isn't that terrible? Sure it is. Yeah. I've told this one guy, he's been calling for about a year and a half or so. He keeps saying his name, and he says that. I said, let me see, I'll just use Todd's name. Todd, listen. You called me last week. What? I said, I told you last week. We can't do that. He said, well, you got to help. I said, listen, Todd, get you a book. If you're looking through the churches and doing the yellow pages, draw a big circle around Calvary Baptist because you're not getting anything here. Well, what kind of a Christian church is that? I said, it's one that's not going to be suckered in with your scam. Scam, that's what it is. Click. Now, would you have thought that in about a week or 10 days that you would have got a call from that guy again? I would have thought, no. Ring. Yes, yes, yes. I thought, this is the guy I was talking to last week. I said, remember what I told you? The guy said, what? I said, remember I said, take the telephone book, draw a circle around and counsel us out. He said, you say that? I said, yeah. Get your book out, man. Sorry, no help here. Isn't that terrible? And what's terrible about that is that that kind of stuff makes our hearts hard. Somebody who really needs help, you know. We get hard-hearted. I remember years ago, we were down in the old building on the old side, and a car pulled up. Guy comes over and knocks on the door and talks to me a little bit about they were coming from Michigan to go to Indianapolis for a funeral. And he said, we're just about out of gas and we need some money for gas. I told him, I said, well, we don't give any money. I said, but I'll take you down here to the filling station and put some gas in your car. He said, well, I'd rather have the money. I said, no, it's either gas or nothing. He said, well, okay, all right. So took him down there and put $20 worth, came back in. I said, could you hold it just a second? I think he thought, oh, maybe we'll get something else here or something like that. And they were. Phil Henderson used to be in our church. He sold Kemp's ice cream. We had a freezer downstairs in the old building full of ice cream. Every shape, size, and description you could think about. Have you ever ate a goo goo cluster? They're pretty good. They got 40 million calories in them or something like that. But they're pretty good. So I went downstairs and I got a box of those goo goo clusters because there was about four or five kids in there and then him and his wife. And there's six in that box. So I thought, oh, that's not enough. So I'll just get two boxes. So I took them back out and I told the guy, quit beating that baby up now. Good gracious. And I told the guy, I said, here's a box of ice cream. I said, there's not enough in here, but there's another box. I said, but, you know, let everybody have an ice cream. I don't know what you'll do with the rest, but you'll have to decide that yourself. I felt really good about the whole situation. Monday morning, Clarence calls me from New Haven. He said, Pastor Mike, somebody's driving around in an old station wagon saying they're coming from Michigan going to Indianapolis for a funeral. They've been to almost every church in town. They've collected at least $300-some. If they come to Calvary, don't let them come. I said, too late. They got another 80 from us. Listen, I would actually rather do it that way than not help somebody who needed help. But it makes us hard, doesn't it? It makes us hard. We almost immediately think, is this a scam? What's going on? And that's a shame. We need to be lights in the world, but we don't need to help evil. And there's a hard line to walk there. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Lord is in charge, even of this hellish world that we live in right now. Let's look for great and mighty things to happen that only the Lord can do. Pray that great and mighty things happen. People all over the world are suffering. Let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, we know who you are and what you're about. We know that your generosity, your love, and your grace is boundless. Lord, we know that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that all kinds of things are happening all around us. They defy our imagination and our reasoning. But Lord, help us that we be your people. Lord, even as we're coming to this time of invitation this morning, if there's one here today who needs to come and use this altar to pray, let that happen. Maybe there's somebody here today that you've been speaking to their hearts about being a member here at Calvary. Let that happen if that's your will as well. And we'll give you the glory. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name.